Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Question: what does it mean to be born again? A lot of people claim to be born again, but when you look at them, they're exactly the same as they were before they supposedly had this born-again experience. What does it really mean? And is it biblical? And it is one of the central doctrines of Protestantism. And they do read it out of the Bible, but they misinterpret it and do not understand what it really means. So let's begin right here in John 3. This is where we find it in the gospel teachings of Jesus Christ. Let's understand as we read this. Set aside if you're Protestant or ex-Protestant or Catholic, whatever you may be. Set aside whatever idea that you have. And let's look at the plain facts of Scripture. Because God is true. God cannot lie. He will not lie. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And every word of God has been recorded and has been inspired or God-spirited. So that means that in order to understand the word of God, we have to rightly put it together. We have to compare Scripture with Scripture in order to get a full, complete understanding of what it's telling us. So let's begin in verse 1, third chapter of the Gospel of John. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus by name, a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him. Now that's interesting, because he didn't want the rest of the Sanhedrin to know that he went out to see Jesus. So he did it by night. And he said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. Yet the religious authorities and the Romans killed Jesus, because they didn't believe he was from God. Because no one is able to do the miracles that you are doing unless God is with him. Now, Jesus didn't say, oh, thank you. I'm so glad that you noticed that. I'm happy that you came to see me at night. No. He explained the whole purpose of the gospel in different terms, but exact terms that are absolutely literal. And we will see there is nothing here that's of a figure of speech or symbolic. It is literal. So let's read it. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless anyone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Clear statement. You must be born again in order to see, or we'll see later on, to enter into the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus said to him, how can a man who is old be born? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? So he understood that it was like a regular birth, not some ethereal thing. The next verse is the most important verse in understanding correctly what Jesus is teaching here. Verse 5. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless anyone has been born of water, that we will see is not baptism. And of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now then, entering the kingdom of God, that's something, isn't it? Okay? And we will see when that takes place. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. Stop right there. Are you flesh and blood? Were your mother and father flesh and blood? And so on and so on and so on down the genetic line? Yes. You were born of flesh. Your mother was fleshly. Your father is fleshly. Conceived in your mother's womb. God created you there in your mother's womb. And when it was time for you to be born, you were born of the flesh. Now that's clear. The next phrase, that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit. Now that's quite a thing. What is spirit? Well, spirit is something that's the power of God and you can't see. Angels are spirit beings. They have the ability to manifest themselves to human beings. God is spirit. He's not fleshly. Chapter 4 tells us that. Let's come over here to chapter 4. Now, he's talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, and he's explaining to her about how to worship God. And he tells her it's not going to be in Jerusalem, and it's not going to be in Samaria. But here is how. Verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers. Now, think about that for a minute. Are there false worshipers? That is, those who have beliefs contrary to the Bible and yet claim they're worshiping God. They are false worshipers. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is indeed seeking those who worship him in this manner. Verse 24, God is spirit. That's what he is composed of. Now, we're made in the image and likeness of God, but we're flesh. Notice what else it says. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's come back to John, the third chapter. Let's come to verse 5 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless anyone has been born of water. Now, what does that mean? Look at the other one down here in verse 6. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. Born of water and born of flesh is the same thing. Now, before you were born of your mother, you were in her womb, and you were in a giant birth sac, and that sac was filled with amniotic fluid or water. Now, you can't be born unless there's a cesarean operation, unless there's the water. Now, why? Well, when a child is born, it's all covered with what you might call infantile grease. That's what I call it. Or waterproofing of the skin. Why? Because the baby is living in a watery society. Circumstances. In his or her mother's womb. Now, when you are born, what's the first sign the baby's coming? What does the doctor or midwife say? The water has broken. And that means the amniotic fluid starts to come out because the sac in which you have been created in is beginning to push you out. And the water is necessary in that amniotic sac to push you out, along with the fact that you have this waterproofing infantile grease on you, which is very important and should not be washed off, because that protects the newborn from sickness and disease. So here we have the truth of the matter. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the water is flesh. Those two go together. Now then, verse 6 says, and that which has been born of the Spirit is Spirit. Let's learn a lesson. Okay? We saw God was Spirit. Jesus Christ was God before he became a human being. And he gave up his divinity and all that he had as God to become a pinprick of life, to be begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and to be born as a baby. Let's pick it up here in Matthew, the first chapter, verse 20. And as he, Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, pondered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that which has been begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. And we know from Luke, the first chapter, that the angel also told Mary that that which is being begotten in you is from the power of the Highest, and he shall be called the Son of God, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now then, verse 21, and she'll give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this came to pass that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying. Now let's understand, there are 356 or more prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. So if you want that booklet, you can write for it. 356. Every single one was fulfilled. Verse 23, here's the quote. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Let's continue and see what happened. Verse 24. When Joseph was awakened from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife to wed. But they did not have sexual relations until after she had given birth to her son. Notice what he has also called her. The firstborn. Question. Was Jesus flesh? Yes, he was. Jesus also said symbolically, unless you eat his flesh, you have no life in you. Very interesting, okay? Let's go back and look. Born of the Spirit. John 3 and verse 6. Let's read that again. That which has been born of the Spirit is Spirit. What did Jesus say about a spirit being? Now, all human beings you can see, right? Wherever there are human beings you go, you can see them as they are. Now let's talk about how is one who is a spirit? Because it says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That means composed of spirit. Let's come back here to John 3 and verse 7. Do not be amazed that I said to you, it is necessary for you to be born again. That means it's absolutely incumbent, obligatory to be born again in order to what? See the kingdom of God and enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual realm. Not physical. It is necessary for you to be born again. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear it sound, but you do not know the place from which it comes and the place to which it goes. Now notice the next sentence, because this is very key. So also is everyone who has been born of Spirit. Remember what it says up here? That which has been born of Spirit is Spirit. No longer flesh, Spirit being. All right? Let's look at an example of what Spirit beings can do. Now let's come to John, the 20th chapter, and let's see what Jesus did after he was resurrected from the dead and ascending to the Father and returning back to the disciples. Let's come here to John 20 and verse 19. And afterwards, as evening was drawing near that day, the first day of the weeks, and the doors were shut where the disciples had assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." Bam! He was right there. How did he get in? The doors were shut. Because that which is spirit, and goes where the wind, like the wind, you don't know where it goes. So Jesus, now after having ascended to the Father and returning, he came and showed himself to the disciples, and they were locked up in this room, and all of a sudden, he was standing there in the midst of them. They probably thought, how did that happen? They were all amazed. Now, verse 20, and after saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples rejoiced because they had seen the Lord. Now, let's come to the last chapter of the book of Luke, Luke 24. So a spirit being can walk through walls, walk through doors, appear and disappear at will. Question. Anyone who is a Protestant who says, I'm born again, can you disappear? Can you walk through walls? Try the wall test. If you're really born again, get back about 20 feet and run as fast as you can and see if you can run through the wall, not damage the wall, and not hurt yourself. If you can, you've been born again. But if you can't, your understanding of born again is incorrect. It's wrong and contrary to the teachings of the Bible. Now then, Jesus appeared to them here in Luke 24. Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." All of a sudden, boom, there he is. And he says, "Peace." But they were terrified and filled with fear, thinking that they had beheld a spirit apparition. How could this be? How could Jesus show himself here? Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts come up in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I. Touch me and see for yourself. A spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see me having." Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that Jesus could appear looking like an ordinary man, even though he was a spirit being. And so then he showed them his hands and his feet. They were still disbelieving. Now, let's come to Revelation 1 and verse 4. "John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace be to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness." Now notice, the firstborn from the dead. Very firstborn. No one else has been born in a resurrection from the dead except Jesus Christ. So, think of this. Jesus was born of the flesh of water, the amniotic fluid from Mary, his mother, and he was born of spirit, that is, raised from the dead by the power of God the Father, and was a spirit being. That which is spirit is spirit. Now, no other man has done this. Let's come to 1 Corinthians 15 and see something else as well. Let's see a statement here that is very clear. No one else, period, has been born again except Jesus Christ. He was born of the flesh, that which is the flesh is the flesh. He was born of the Spirit, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That means composed of spirit. Now let's read it here. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15. But now Christ has been raised from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Firstborn, firstfruits. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead, and by the man, Jesus. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now notice verse 23, which is very important and proves that no one else has been born again. Right here, verse 23. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruit, there it is again, then those who are Christ's at his coming. Now, this coming is his second coming. Has he come? Literally? You read the book of Revelation, and that tells us how the kingdom of God is coming in power and great authority and great destruction because of the sins of men and Satan, the devil, and demons. Has Christ come and put down all the enemies yet? No, he hasn't. Let's look at another one which shows that anyone who claims that they have been born again have not been born again. Number one, because they're not spirit beings. Number two, because they can't see the kingdom of God. Number three, because they cannot enter the kingdom of God. No fleshly being can. Verse 48, as is the one made of the dust, so also are all those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly one, that's Jesus, so also are all those who are heavenly, that is, their spirit beings. And as we have borne the image of the one made of dust. All right, are you flesh and blood right now? You're made of dust, correct? Yes. Now, if you repent and are baptized, which we'll cover in the next segment, that will tell you how God will work with you so you can enter the kingdom of God as a spirit being at the resurrection when Christ returns. Remember we saw there, each one in his own order, those who are Christ at his coming. Now, as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. Shall bear. That doesn't happen till the resurrection. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's when those who are Christ will be born again. Now, you need our article that we have, What Do You Mean Born Again? That will explain how the false doctrine came in, why it came in, and we'll explain to you all the details that we just covered in this segment here. And you also need the book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why were you born? And this shows God's purpose for making us human beings, weak in the flesh, and how God sent Christ to save us, and how it also shows how life is created in the womb. Very fantastic book. So the next time anyone says to you, I've been born again, tell them, boy, that's great news. Now you do the wall test. You see if you can walk through the wall without hurting the wall and hurting yourself. And if you can't do it, you have not been born again, because no one is born again except Jesus Christ. And that won't happen until the first resurrection when Jesus returns. That's what it means to be born again.